Welcome to MedTalks, a project of the Palm Beach County Medical Society. Thank you for listening to us as we bring you many topics of interest to medicine and our society.
I'm Dr. Brent Schillinger with Dr. Abby Strauss, and we're having a conversation today about retired physicians. And we're speaking with Dr. David Shulin, who amongst the three of us is actually a fully retired physician. David serves also as the chair of the Palm Beach County Medical Society's Retired Physicians Committee. David, you worked for many years in Albany, New York. You were in the specialty of allergy and immunology. How and when did you know for yourself that it was the right time to retire?
My wife was retiring from the VA. Originally, I was contemplating working part-time and snowbirding at back and forth, and I realized it was just too expensive to practice part-time in New York and have two places coming up and down. So we decided I would cold turkey it and retire completely. It's worked out very nicely. Oh, it is a shock after working over 30 years constantly, and all of a sudden you have a totally different lifestyle. It's very nice not being on call and not having to, if we're making a trip or visiting family, we don't have to schedule 6 months or a year in advance. If we need to go, we can go. That part is very nice. Also, we moved into a 55 and older community with a lot of other people, including physicians, but people of various backgrounds, all retiring. There's a lot of activities that can keep you very busy.
One of the things that has always struck me, and I am getting to the age of retirement, it's something that we talk about, not there yet, but to think that I would no longer have to think like a physician, to work like a physician, it seems like a piece of me would be missing because I'm so used to it. How was the transition for you? How did you adjust to the change of your daily activities?
We made a complete clean break. We moved from Albany, New York, Florida, and just setting up a new household, meeting new friends, getting everything set up was a full-time job right there. So that took care of the initial transition and keeping busy. And as people moved into our community, we got to know people. We also started making trips that we could never do, that we didn't have time to do while we were working. Things are a little bit restrained now with the COVID.
Did you close your practice entirely, or were you part of a practice? The question that I'm really trying to ask is, what was the process of leaving? How complicated was that?
A number of years in advance, I was planning on phasing out over 5 years. I was in a group of 8 physicians, and about 2 years before I actually retired, I realized it was really not practical to work part-time for a prolonged period of time, especially with my wife retiring. I let the practice know 2 years in advance, and they were able to recruit another physician before I left. I was able to transition my patients to the new physicians and help prepare my patients for the change.
And in your work in the medical society and helping with retirement, how different of a process is it for the independent practitioner? Frankly, I don't work with a group of other physicians. So if I leave, all the patients have to go somewhere else. That's kind of daunting.
I know a number of private practices where physicians have retired, where they either sold their practice to a group of physicians or a single physician, or they made an arrangement to transfer records and have a transition to the other physician or the other physicians. Their patients were covered.
What advice would you give as they go through the process of that first day, so to speak, when they say to themselves, it's time to retire? What should they do psychologically to prepare themselves? What should they do economically to prepare themselves? Two questions. What's your advice?
You need to know what you're going to do. You need to be active. I noticed when I was practicing, my patients who successfully retired, their comment was, I'm so busy, I wouldn't have time to work. I've also had physicians who retired who did not have other activities, other things to do. It was like a death sentence to them. I can't emphasize enough, make plans. What are you going to do? There are a lot of volunteer activities. Palm Beach County Medical Society certainly offers a lot of volunteer activities. There's a lot of medical clinics that ask for volunteers. There are many things you can do. I volunteer with the Sheriff's Department, with the Civilian Observer Patrol. I walked 5 miles this morning on patrol before we did the podcast.
In your role as chair of the Retired Physicians Committee with the Medical Society, what do you see in terms of plans, specific plans that you have for this group?
I'd like to answer the second question also that was asked previously. Sure. About financially. You do need to make sure you have plans for the future, that you have adequate financial income that is safe. I would strongly advise getting rid of any debt, making sure that you have adequate finances, and sometimes downsizing is very good. We downsized with our house because we didn't need so much room. I would say that is extremely important. We moved into a house where everything is on one floor, so as we age, we can successfully stay in the same location.
To follow up with Brent's question then, does the Medical Society have a guideline on how to do this? Some sort of sequential list that a doctor could follow to leave a job that's been the focus of a life like this for so long is a major, major shift.
The AMA has information. There are various other medical organizations that have lists of how to prepare for retirement. You need to have adequate malpractice coverage, whether it's a tail or some ongoing malpractice insurance that covers you. That's important to keep your financial stability. You need to discuss with your family what you want to do. My wife and I do a lot of things together. So if I was working part-time and she was in a different location, that would be a problem for us. Retiring at the same time was important for us. That was a family decision.
This is all important. The thing that comes to my mind is you had a voluntary retirement. What if it's involuntary?
Yes.
What if somebody got sick or they got fired because the complex of medicine has changed? Is there a sense of preparing for the not voluntary retirement? Is your organization helpful in dealing with that? Or maybe we should just do a generalized thing that's called think about your future in general.
Well, I think it's think about your future in general. Are there other careers that you want to do? Are there other activities other than volunteer? I know one physician who left the NIH who got involved in information technology is now CEO of HL7.
We've been talking a lot about physicians who are in that transition period. Should I retire? Is it the time to retire? What do I need to do? What about for physicians who've been retired for some time already? Do they have particular challenges from what you've seen?
If you've been active, I would say they're doing very well. If they're volunteering, if they've got other activities to do, retirement can be wonderful. If you just are sitting around, not doing anything, not keeping active, not doing things with your family, just vegetating, that is horrible. That is a kiss of death. And I've seen that happen with physicians. I find being active, being able to exercise more, has been wonderful for my health. When I was working, I couldn't get in the level of exercise I wanted to do. One of my goals of retirement was to take care of myself and to exercise, and that's what I'm doing.
And you got 5 miles in already this morning?
Yes.
That's pretty
impressive. I usually do over 10 miles a day.
Oh, okay. Well, you got the rest of the day. Back to the question about the Medical Society. What specific, you're chair of the committee. Do you have any specific plans for how we can help physicians on all levels in thinking about retirement, doctors who have been retired, looking for additional activities? What do you have planned?
With the COVID, certainly had some restriction what we can do as far as getting together. The past week, we've had a Zoom conference where we were able to just have a lecture, who is another very active retired physician, and he did an excellent job in talking about some opportunities that there may be in research following up with COVID.
Is there a sense that people, let's say up north who are practicing, do they anticipate or do they realize that if they move to Florida, their license is not valid down here? Should someone think about getting a license in the state in which they're going to volunteer?
There is some limited, easier license for physicians volunteering. I know a number of physicians who volunteered at CureDAD. that part is not very hard. To get a regular medical license for someone moving from up north can be a little more rigorous.
So it might be a prudent thing to do then to maintain the license up north.
If you're looking at possibly practicing down here, if you have a Florida license and you're up north, yes, I would recommend keeping that up. If you're not planning on practicing, then it may not be necessary. It's always good to keep your options open. I have some friends up north who did a lot of training down in Florida who have Florida license, and they're not practicing.
Florida tends to be particularly tough with the licensing because there's so many physicians coming here to retire. New York is quite the opposite because I maintain a New York license, but you can put it on hold status.
David, it speaks so perfectly to what you said at the beginning, is to have a plan of what you want to do. And if you've got something that's reasonably solid and reasonably predictable, then you might not need to maintain the license in another state. So it's the planning.
You really do need to think of what you want to do, what you want to be doing, being active with the medical society. I still feel connected with the medical community, but I'm not practicing. And you don't have to make a complete break with the medical community.
To me, that is such a critical component of retiring. One has to retire into something. How many physicians go through this process, shall we say, correctly, with a little wisdom, with a little self-discipline? Maybe we don't have those statistics, that it tends to be a little bit more haphazard and not well thought out enough, that people go, oh my God, I should have never retired.
I don't know the statistics. I highly recommend that physicians plan ahead. Don't just say, oh, what am I going to do now? Have some backup plans. Have some idea of what you want to do. The physicians that I've seen who have retired, who did not make plans, very unhappy.
And you probably see those.
I see it too often. And because, as one of you mentioned at the beginning, their ego structures are so to being the head of a team, to walking into a hospital or wherever and having some authority. And now they're just a regular another person. Their egos are not prepared for that, and they need to do some preparation. And for some people, it's very difficult, and not all of them actually go through the transition. It takes time. I've also found it very interesting that more than once, the spouse has come in and said, you're not a doctor anymore. That's okay. It's okay. You can still volunteer in what all the things that we're talking about here, but it's okay. You don't have to be in the driver's seat the way you were for years and years and years and years. Sit in a different driver's seat for a while. One woman told me that, and I said, that's awesome. I should have recorded it. I think that picks up what you and David are talking about.
Clearly a plan structure.
Yes.
I was in a group practice, and my wife was at the VA. And in a group practice, you're individually not in the driver's seat.
True.
You're one of multiple physicians in a group. At the VA, you are sometimes considered another provider. There isn't necessarily the feeling that you're controlling everything.
See, and what you just...
As opposed to a solo practice, which would be a whole different situation.
Which speaks directly to my own personal reaction to what you say. You're right. I don't think in terms of a group practice. I think in terms of private practice. But it's an important point. I'm glad both of you brought that up.
In all of these instances, as a physician, you still have ego structures as this important person who's doing very responsible things. And if suddenly that all goes away, you're in a whole new world. Maybe not the place you want to be.
Also, you don't have some of the pressures you've had before. I would go home worrying about individual patients, what's happening with them, and so would my wife. The call schedule at the VA was getting quite challenging with my wife. We were getting about 5 hours of sleep a night, so it's nice being able to get a decent night's sleep. The pressures of the practice can be a factor in encouraging you to retire. I had plenty of frustrations with our electronic medical record system, which I thought was relatively poorly designed. You had to do sometimes put the same information more than once into this electronic record and do it over and over and over again, it ate up a lot of your time. In previous years, we used to be able to get out for lunch. Towards the end of my time practice, my whole time was spent going over the electronic record and cleaning up notes from the morning.
So might not it be a good idea in anticipation of retirement for a physician to make a list of the pros and the cons? Any doubts later on, they could go back to that list, take a second look to say, yeah, now I know why I did this.
Yes. Make a plan. Look at why you're retiring. What are the pros? What are the negatives? What do you want to do? Have backup plans. Make sure you're financially stable and keep active after retirement. Retirement shouldn't be a loss of interaction with people. It can be a great opening. And I find a lot of people that I was friends with up north have moved down here, or at least snowbird down here. And I'm seeing a lot of my friends a lot more than I ever did when I was working.
This has been a very interesting discussion on physician retirement. Thank you for joining us, Dr. David Schulin, Chair of the Physicians Retirement Committee at Palm Beach County Medical Society, Dr. Brent Schulinger, along with Dr. Abby Strauss. Thank you for joining us on this podcast.